Anyway, we're a live podcast. We have over 112 episodes, close, up on iTunes. We've been doing it here for about five long years. And that was meant to be a brag and turned out to be really depressing as it came from my mouth. All right, there we go.
Roughly 24 to 92 hours ago, Stab's team of comedy scientists commissioned four specific humorists to give various potentially comedic takes on several random topics, which they'll now perform for the first and likely last time in front of a live studio audience.
That's you.
In a show called Stab.
Stab! Oh my God! Welcome, everyone! Thank you for coming to Stab here at Luna's Cafe, 1414 16th Street in Sacramento, California. You're the biggest crowd we've ever had, but the quietest in ratio. So thank you. It's really weird how it's working out. But would you guys like to meet your contestants? Would you like to meet your contestants? Well, welcome to the stage first, Mr. Alfonso Portella. Alfonso Portella. Right there, chair number one. All the way in from New York City. The capital of our nation, Mr. Brian Yang. Brian Yang.
Stab.
Then coming from the capital of California, San Francisco, Ben Feldman. Thank you for Ben Feldman. Welcome. And coming all the way from Rancho Cordova, East Rancho Cordova, Mr. Jesse Jones. Jesse Jones. Welcome. Welcome, everybody. Welcome. How's it going, everybody?
So good.
Woo!
Good.
Those microphones working?
Hot.
Is this microphone working?
They're hot.
You guys are attractive as a group.
Yeah, we are.
It's debatable.
This looks like a train ride. Like I'm looking at a train ride right now.
Just saying that because Brian's from New York.
Yeah, I was on the subway, and is that what they call it there, Brian?
Yeah, they call it subway. I'm back from New York. I'm just like Lady Bird. Lady Bird in theaters now.
The male version.
Lady Bird.
Lady Bird.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for being here. Over the last couple episodes, I've written jokes about everyone in an attempt to be more mean. But I've decided not to do that tonight. I just turned 40 yesterday, and thank you. I'm turning over a new leaf. So I'm going to compliment everyone. Alfonso, you're hotter than my wife. Ex-wife. Thank you for being here.
Thanks. Your ex-wife's hella hot. Thanks.
She used to be, you know. Before pulling child support out. Then it's weird how that... Oh, everyone got quieter. I feel like I need to hit everyone in the crowd. Is that like just slap and then it'll be all up from there? Think, oh, we walked a guy. Already we're making people upset.
He's a big fan of your ex-wife.
He is. I was
bouncing. Sure. Or he
She's
didn't
got
like
one.
Lady Bird. One of the two. One of the two.
Brian Yang, good friend of mine over... A decade.
Yeah, maybe 11, 12 years.
He moved to New York to pursue his comedy career, and I'm jealous of him for moving.
Well, thanks. I like your tattoo. I'm jealous of your tattoo.
Don't be.
I just started getting tattoos, and I was like, that's a good one.
Did you?
That's a good one. Yeah.
It's satanic. It's a satanic
Hell
tattoo.
Hell yeah. Most tattoos are satanic, I've noticed.
That's right.
That's really the genre they lean into.
I have a lot of Christian ones, so I got a satanic one to balance my body out.
Do you still have the dove?
Yeah, I still have a dove.
John has a dove.
On my calf.
We can see it after the show. It's a ladybird tattoo.
It is.
Really.
If you
think about it.
Well, thank you for being here, Brian. Yeah.
Thank you.
Ben Feldman. You're allowed to talk into that microphone if you want.
I got nothing to say.
You got nothing to say. How are you feeling?
Adequate, I guess is the word. I drove 2 hours to get here. I'm very tired. But
is it?
My written material is very good. So.
Well, that's excellent. I like your.
Where's my compliment?
I was about to give it. You're good at asking for compliments. That's. You're on it. You're on it. Well, Ben, thank you for matching
thank
the energy.
Thank you for that compliment.
Matching the energy of the crowd, Ben. Thank you.
I have a question, John.
What is that question?
Is there someone here who could get me a draft beer? I will pay for it.
Yes.
Okay.
Draft beer wench. Where are no? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'll get it for you. Yeah.
Thanks.
You
want me to, I didn't prepare very well.
But the written material.
You didn't bring one with you?
Do I have to write no. that I want a beer?
No. Yeah. I got it. Write a joke about wanting a beer.
Jesse Jones,
yeah.
You're here again.
It's true.
It's good to see you.
Oh, well, thanks.
Are you ready to play?
Sure, why not?
All right. Oh.
I don't see anyone moving on that beer.
Are you ready? Are you sure you're ready to play?
I mean, I was.
Jesse, well, here's the sound effect to confirm that.
Ah, there we go. There we are. Production button.
Production. Professional.
Tight.
This first segment is called This Was Today Once. Alfonso, you'll be going first. On this date, 910, I almost said 1910. On this date, 910, Alfonso III, King of Austria, died. Also on this date, 1974, Japanese guitarist, singer, songwriter, and producer Dai was born. How did you choose to celebrate the aforementioned events in tandem?
Yeah, well, I celebrate the death of any Alfonso. From today's anniversary of Alfonso III in 1910 to Alfonso Ribeiro's career death on May 20th, 1996, when The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air aired its final episode. So as you see, as far as I'm concerned, the only Alfonso who should be thriving is me. So sure, my dad's name is Alfonso, and I deal with that conflict of consciousness daily. But I truly will never be content until I am the last living Alfonso. And Alfonso, everyone will love and admire. One day, everyone will say, I've never met an Alfonso I didn't like, because the only Alfonso in existence will be I, Alfonso Alejandro Portela, the hottest, most nicest piece of ass this side of the stage. So in celebration of today, as I do on any Dia de la Muerte de Alfonso Inferior, I lit a prayer candle and masturbated onto a framed picture of the Alfonso in question as a show of superiority. Again, not sure how this is going to play out when my dad dies. Speaking of Dai, did you know that's the name of the guitarist of my favorite Japanese metal band, Dieren Gray?
No, I did not.
Yeah, not only did I get to rub one out to a photo of a long-dead Spanish monarch whose name was too good for him, but I got to do so while listening to Dieren Gray's hit song, The Final. The lyrics are all in Japanese, so I don't know what they're saying. So I just imagine the words are, Alfonso! You'll be the final Alfonso! Cover that other Alfonso's face with jizz! You would totally bang your own clone. And that's all I did today.
All right, very good, Alfonso. Thank you very much for that.
Yeah.
Very good. Very good. Brian Yang!
I didn't know you're supposed to write that much.
You don't have to write
okay.
that much.
These are more one-liners that I wrote.
Good.
Okay.
We'll speed the show along.
That was really good, man. Fuck. I thought I was just talking about Lady Bird mostly. And then lower your expectations, I guess, I say.
Brian Yang, on this date, 1920. Bob Hope, American comedian, became an American citizen. Also on this date, 1924, Adolf Hitler was freed from jail early, presumably for, good behavior. How did you choose to celebrate the aforementioned events in tandem?
Yeah, I watch Jeff Ross's Roast of the Holocaust. It's really good.
Okay.
I don't think anyone else has seen it.
Nope.
But yeah, he roasts everything, and he roasted the Holocaust, and I watch that. It's really funny. It's good. I mean, it's edgy, but it's good. I wrote down my favorite joke that he does on that roast.
All right, let's.
So everyone's roasting the Holocaust. This one was really good. And it was timely, too, which is surprising, because usually these roasts are from a few years ago, but this one was, really recent, I guess. My favorite roast joke by Jeff Ross from the roast of the Holocaust. The Holocaust was so unnecessarily sad, long, and drawn out, they almost called it The Last Jedi.
Yeah, I see.
So, I don't know. I didn't write that. Jeff Ross wrote that. I don't know why everyone's mad at me.
I am John Ross, not Jeff Ross.
Yeah, Jeff Ross, the Roastmaster. Yeah, they put that on Comedy Central. I watched it. He wrote that terrible joke, and I just read it. You know, I didn't. I definitely didn't write that joke this morning at my coffee table. Jeff Ross wrote it. Yeah.
Well, thank you for coming to town.
Yeah, man.
Ben Feldman. On this date, 1820, Missouri imposes a $1 bachelor tax on unmarried men between the ages of 21 and 50. Also on this date, 2009, Brittany Murphy, American actress, got dead. How did you celebrate the aforementioned events in tandem?
Well, John, at first glance, these two events seem unrelated. But a closer look confirms that is the case. Regardless, they happen on the same date, so we must find a way to consider two things at once, because if we don't, we're no different than the feminists. How do I personally celebrate Missouri's $1 bachelor tax imposition on unmarried men between 21 and 50 and still have the energy to keep Brittany Murphy, star of 1995's Clueless and 1997's Bong Water, in my thoughts and prayers? Well, I go back and forth, duh. I simply focus on each event 60 seconds at a time. Back and forth for 12 waking hours. 1 minute I'm raising a glass in solemn remembrance of the inscrutable bachelor tax. The next I'm pouring out my glass in honor of some actress chick I barely remember. Rinse and repeat. Then I'll watch Clueless 1 minute at a time, co-starring the dead bitch I mentioned before. Wow. And the next minute, skim the diaries of bachelors who paid $1 back in 1820 for having a dick and being single. Is it challenging? I can't say it's not. At times, things start to blend together in my mind. Por ejemplo, while reading the bachelor journals, I can't say on occasion I haven't conjured up a mental image of a young Paul Rudd getting his first big break filming Clueless by day, then scribbling furiously at night in his diary about the injustices thrust upon him by the Missouri state legislator simply for being wise enough not to marry. Then I think, stupid brain, stop conflating Paul Rudd with bachelors from the 1800s. But seriously, though, I can't help but think, damn, if Paul Rudd had been alive in 1820 and single and over 20, but younger than 51 and living in Missouri, he would have had to fork over a dollar once a year or once ever. I don't know. It's not clear. Either way, that's a big smack in the horse leather wallet. Why, back then, a dollar bought you a 2-day crash course on the Meisner acting technique or a footy from the town bishop. That's not chump change, John. Naturally, after... There's a little bit more. Naturally, after a day filled with people in the audience can't, at home can't hear, so I'm going to repeat. Someone in the audience helped me with that word. Retrospection, thank you. After a day filled with retrospection, drip drinking, and celebration, I'm zonked. So I'll usually wrap up December 20th with what I like to call the trifecta of hot. A hot soak in a barrel, a hot pipe full of fine Cavendish blend, and a hot time in the sack with myself. Before I fire up my CPAP machine, clean the discharge off my belly, and get me a night full of sweet dreams,
before tomorrow's big December 21st co-celebration of Mackenzie Bowell becoming the fifth Prime Minister of Canada in 1894, and how the University of Copenhagen rejected American explorer Frederick Cook's claim that he was first to North Pole on that day in 1909. Bottoms up.
Very good. Ben Feldman. This was Today Once for Ben Feldman.
I thought we were supposed to write more.
Yeah, a little disappointed.
Where's my fucking beer?
Jesse Jones.
Yes.
On this date, 2010, the Chinese Ministry of Science and Technology announces it has developed the first ever spherical robot with the telescopic arms. Also on this date, 1891, Swedish triple jumper Erik Almroth was born. Almroth. Was born, triple jumper.
One of those.
How'd you celebrate the aforementioned events in tandem?
Oh, God, John. I have never been happier to see your stupid old face in my entire life. And just so it's clear, up until this exact moment, I have never in my entire life, even once, been happy to see you. I just returned from a harrowing trip to the future! The hows are beyond your understanding and not worth getting into. The whys are obvious. With all this breakneck advancements in robotics and cybernetics, quickly making the very idea of human competition ridiculous and obsolete, I thought I'd take a peek at what is to come in the inaugural Robot Olympics of 2024. And while I was certainly horrified beyond belief by what I saw, I was absolutely not disappointed. The memories of the events will haunt my remaining days for as long as I'm able to keep myself from trying to dig them out of my skull with a rusty screwdriver. But the athleticism was undeniable. I watched new world records set in everything from human corpse tossing to freestyle Twitter replies. But the highlight had to be the gold medal round of cyber judo, in which Japan's Judotron X719T6 was awarded the victory over South Korea's Grapplux MS9000 when Grapplux tested positive for performance-enhancing software, which allowed it to kick Judotron's head clear into the upper deck of Valvoline Stadium. And while the post-robot Holocaust battlefields of 2024 are without a doubt a bone-chilling, pants-crappening, non-stop living hellscape for humanity, those that do survive by betraying mankind in return for a shameful existence as servants to their new mechanical overlords, they will be able to witness firsthand the grace, power, and ferocity of China's 1,600-meter disemboweling relay team. It is truly the stuff of nightmares.
Very good. This was Today Once, which moves us on to our next segment called the Topical Haiku Challenge. Topical Haiku Challenge.
Is this always a category or just because I'm...
No, it's always a category.
All right. I just wanted to make sure. Okay. Yeah. Cool, that's fine.
I don't know if
totally fine.
Is this a segment we do all the time? And I'm pretty sure haikus weren't created in Laos, right?
No.
Okay,
no.
Okay. Yeah. So no. I'm not...
Correct.
Being the racist you think I am, okay? All right, the Topical Haiku Challenge. Please have written 3 haikus in regard to the following topical story. All right. How we all doing? We all doing good?
We're good.
We're all good? Here's the story. A high school teacher in Ontario, Canada has been suspended for multiple charges of misconduct, including several alleged inappropriate comments she made to her students. The comment that finally prompted her suspension was when she said, "Why don't you lick me where I fart?" to a student. Yeah. Good teacher. Great teacher. We're going to go ahead and do haikus. Your first of 3, Alfonso.
All right. Hold on here. We think she means ass, but she never specifies from where does she fart.
Very good. Brian, your first of 3.
All right. The Great White North, eh? That's what we're talking about? Lick me where I toot.
Very good. Very good.
Lick you where you fart? That indeed begs the question. What's in it for you?
Jesse Jones.
Let's see. I got to change the order since a couple of these were too much like other people's. let's go with this one. This one's titled One Confused Student. That's
one
better.
Confused okay. Student. There we go.
I need the racist twangs. One confused student. Wait, why would teacher ask me to lick her inside an elevator?
Took a second. Alfonso, you're second of three.
Teaching 101. Don't tell kids to eat your ass. Think it all you want.
Brian Yang.
Land of sweet maple, the land of Justin Trudeau. Now kiss my poop hole.
Is that an attempt at a rhyme in a haiku?
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, you know.
Poop hole Trudeau?
Mm-hmm. Nice. It's like Kanye West
That's
level.
That's good.
Yeah.
Ben Feldman.
Filthy mouth pig face. Googled her pic. Hey, teacher. Leave them kids alone.
Jesse Jones.
All right. I can't fight being similar to some. So, second titled Workshopping. Lick me where I fart. It's better than her first draft. Tongue my turd nozzle.
Oh my God. Alfonso, your 33 IQ.
A true work of art touches me where so few do, licks me where I fart.
It's beautiful.
Nice. Cheer to my
Can I describe what just happened in the room too? Some people moved closer and some people left also.
Yeah.
So like something is happening with the pod.
That's how this show works.
I think it's good. Yeah.
It's audience Tetris. That's what it is.
All right. The frozen white north. Cold breath comes out of my mouth. Put your mouth down south.
Very good, man. Very good. Ben Feldman.
Lick you where you fart? They say farts in Canada? Thought they called them toots.
Very good.
Yeah. And to completely tie together everybody's thought in the previous 11 fucking haiku, last is titled, What Went Unsaid? Teacher's real mistake? In Canada, it's lick me where I fart, please, eh?
Very good. That was the topical haiku challenge. Very good. Very good, gentlemen. That brings us to our third segment of the first show. And that segment is called Reorganization. Yep. Reorganization. Please take this existing acronym, reimagine it. What does it now stand for? Who or what does it now represent? So being that yesterday was my 40th birthday, I don't know if I mentioned that yet. Tonight's acronym is DOA. DOA. What does DOA mean to you, Alfonso?
DOA stands for the state in which I live my life during the holiday season. I'll find myself at a holiday gathering and I'm asked, Alfonso, would you like some coffee, hot chocolate? To which I gladly reply, no thanks, I'm DOA, drinking only alcohol. The holiday season, of course, starting on New Year's Day and lasting until New Year's Eve. I am DOA, HAT, and WD-40. Drinking only alcohol, high all the time, and welcoming death 40 hours a day. Sometimes those close to me worry that I don't drink enough water, and I assure them that I drink my whiskey on the rocks. And boy, do I go through a lot of rocks. I also smoke crack. There's something about the DOA lifestyle that allows me to see the holiday cheer, my family, and the rampant consumerism and think, ah, I may die at any moment. And that's very comforting when you're hammered. DOA, drinking only alcohol.
Alfonso, very good. DOA, thank you. Brian Yang, what does DOA mean
wow.
to you?
Wow, okay. For your birthday, my thing is like DOA
right.
is it's now, because we're going to have a census in a couple of years, I think in 2020. So it's a new way for a very specific group of people to identify their ethnic group and their age group at the same time. And John Ross would fall into this category, DOA, divorced older Anglo. And that's how he can identify now.
Perfect.
Yeah. So
very good.
DOA.
Very,
yeah.
Very good.
It makes me a DOJ.
Jew.
Yeah.
All right. Ben Feldman, what's DOA mean to you?
Well, John, DOA no longer means dead on arrival. It used to mean that, back when people would die before others arrived. But since that no longer happens, thanks to gene therapy, tort reform, and coconut water, DOA now stands for Dead on Alda. You know, Dead on Alda. Or DOA, when you need a quick way to communicate the fact that someone has died and their person is currently laying atop Alan Alda, star of television's MASH and the new $25,000 pyramid. How many times, John, have you been hop-skipping down a dirt path on the South Korea set at 20th Century Fox Studios on your way back from the latrines, kicking pebbles and daydreaming of good old American boobs and sweaters? When all of a sudden you come across a dead, mangled stuntman's body lying atop a flustered Alan Alda, struggling to push it off without spilling his martini. Once, twice, try four times, John. Yeah. By my fourth time, finding Alan Alda under a stuntman's dead body on a dirt path on a set that was made to look like South Korea, I was losing my mind trying to describe to other stagehands what I witnessed using as few syllables as possible. Hey, when you're filming a three-year war over the course of 11 seasons, time is of the essence. Am I getting through? Maybe I can best describe what it means in a song. So no one told you life was gonna be this way. You found another body, it's dead. Oh look, it's DOA. Maybe you'll get discharged if you dress all queer. When it hasn't been a month, or even a week, I'll lie dead on you, and you'll be the star of MASH. I'll lie dead on you, and your name is Alan Alda. I'll lie dead on you, you'll lie dead on me too.
Very good, Ben Feldman.
Lost him at queer.
All right, very good. Jesse Jones.
Yeah.
What does DOA mean to you?
Please, don't bother reaching for your wallet. There's absolutely no reason whatsoever for you to take your ID out as you approach this club. I can imagine no scenario whatsoever in which you would ever possibly need to show anyone in possession of the gift of sight any sort of proof that you long ago surpassed 21. And your insistence on thrusting your ID into the face of the doorman is only serving to further embarrass yourself. Trust me, it's painfully obvious that you are DOA. You are definitely overage.
Hurts. This hurts.
Honestly, you can put that away. The bartender was clearly going to get you your drink without a moment's hesitation. You chose to reach for your license because you just happen to be standing near someone who doesn't look like they spent the day hip deep in the crick panning for gold when he asked them for ID. Your painful state of DOA is not in question. Notice how the bartender's actually scrutinizing their information while they simply glanced for your birth year, partly to be polite, but mostly out of morbid curiosity. We get that going out to the club makes you feel young. We understand that you're desperately clinging to your dearly departed youth. We see how much it means to you, but your crow's feet have crow's legs attached to them. Your widow's peak is so pronounced it's a widow's summit. Or even a widow's glare, depending on which meaning of widow's peak you understand. But I can see that you need this. I can see how it ever so briefly soothes the aches in your joints, the rush of color it brings to your weathered cheeks. So go ahead. Live it up. But they're not laughing with you anymore. They're laughing at how DOA you are. You are definitely overage.
Very good. That was reorganization. Yeah, which brings us to our next segment, the top five Google searches of, gentlemen, please have composed the top five Google searches from the perspective of the following person or thing. That person is a child on the naughty list. What would a child on the naughty list search on Google one at a time? Alfonso, what's your first of five?
Elf fights.
Elf fights. Yeah. Elf fights.
Elf fights. All elf right. fights.
Elf.
Elf. How to regift coal.
Very good. Ben.
Animated gifs of my sister's tits.
Naughty.
So naughty.
Just. Mine wasn't actually so much a list of Google searches for the naughty list child as it was a sort of a wish list they sent to Santa despite knowing full well their status.
Sure, change the premise. Sure.
Yeah.
We'll go with that.
You can do 130 of these goddamn things. You got to make it interesting for yourself. So the first thing on their list, scented candles that smell like burning the neighborhood cats.
Very good. Very good. Alfonso, back to the original premise.
Yeah, we'll see. Ways to skin a reindeer. Dark. The Grinch was framed.
Just telling Google that, not yeah. searching it really.
He wants to see the
He's starting
results.
A thread.
Yeah, yeah.
Very good. Ben.
Why am I on the naughty list, but not my cock-teased sister?
Jesse.
Yeah. Number two, a super soaker full of bleach.
so.
How to melt the North Pole faster.
There we go. It's a hoax.
Speaking of hoaxes, Jews will not replace us.
He's telling them again.
Yeah, he's a naughty.
He's telling Google again. Yeah.
He wants to see the results. Yeah. He's a naughty boy.
He's working on his own algorithm.
Oh, Ben.
Animated GIFs of Judd Apatow's daughter's tits, who is also my sister. I have a theme.
Yes.
Getting that.
Oh, my God.
Third, a toy train with real derailing action. Oh.
We don't have many listeners in Seattle. It's fine.
Nah,
it's
no. Good.
Or India. It happens a lot there. This is the fourth one?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Fourth.
Mrs. Claus nudes.
Brian.
Richard Spencer's style guide.
Richard?
If you actually Google that, you'll get the joke. He's the leader of the...
he looks a lot like
alt-right.
Me.
Right. Yeah, exactly like John Ross. Yeah. He's a Nazi. is the premise of that joke. Yeah. And then this kid's naughty. And before that, he Googled Jew stuff. And then now it's... Yeah. Right. He's getting progressively... Jokes are bad when you explain the whole... Yeah.
I think they'll get it when they listen back.
Okay, yeah.
I do that a lot.
That's a lot to type into Google.
You had to quote a lot of things to get individual. Ben, you're fourth of five.
Is it legal to fuck your sister if your father produced Superbad?
Oh, wow. It's a good question.
Judd Apatow produced Superbad.
Right. It's good that we all need to reset our premises.
Jesse Jones.
So the fourth on his list of gift items. Okay. Mattel's My First Autopsy playset.
Wow.
Naughty list.
All right, let's end this segment. Alfonso, the fifth of five.
Louis C.K. Great comedian or greatest comedian?
Jeez. All right, Brian.
Tiki torches.
It's tiki torches. All right.
I think on the podcast, it's gonna kill. Yeah.
On the
but in the room,
the re-listen.
Hey, yeah, yeah, yeah. They don't always work, you know. If I was batting 1,000, I wouldn't be on this podcast. I'd be. Right. At a comedy club, yeah.
You'd still be in New York. You'd be ignoring your family that's here. All right, Ben.
Leslie Mann, Judd Apatow sex tape.
Because now he wants to see his...
Thank you.
Jesse Jones, put us out of our misery.
yeah, number five. Biological father's mailing address.
Very good. That ends that segment, the top five Google searches from the perspective of a child on the naughty list. Didn't think it would go there. I got to admit.
That's good stuff, I thought.
Got to admit. This is the last segment of our first show. We have another show after this. Oh, thank you, Mike. This last segment is called The Dating Profiles of the Fictional and or Non-Fictional. Please have written the dating profile from the perspective of the following things. Alfonso Portela, let's hear the dating profile from the perspective of a Christmas tree. A Christmas tree's dating profile.
Hi, my name is Douglas Fir. I'm 11 years old, 7 feet, 2.5 inches tall. I've been cut down, dragged, and left out in the cold, and I'm not trying to get hurt again. So I'm going to be very honest here. I'm not looking for a long-term thing, as I'll mostly be dead by New Year. I have my own flamboyant style full of bright, beautiful, reflective orbs, flashing lights, and popcorn. The only thing I'm missing is a top. Wink. 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 Twink. Obviously, I'm a little kinky. My favorite hobbies are getting knocked over by cats, being stared at by children, whispering to them when their parents aren't around, and not moving while dogs piss on me. Huge plus if you like to blow trees. Oh my God, I just realized how that sounds. I hate weed. But if you want to put one of my branches in your mouth and suck on it a little, that'd be hot. If you're interested, find me out in the gutter by the first week of January.
Very good, Alfonso. The dating profile from the perspective of a Christmas tree. Brian Yang, let's hear your dating profile from the perspective of Flan. Flan.
Okay. Soy de Mexico. You know, honestly, I'm a DACA recipient, so my status as a resident is up in the air under this administration. So I'm, like, looking for an American dessert, like yogurt or cupcakes or apple pie, hopefully open to marriage, hopefully quickly. I came to America as a baby flan, so if I was deported, I wouldn't really even know what to do in Mexico. In all honesty, flan isn't even really served in Mexico. It's just what white people at Chevy's think they serve in Mexico. Also, no butt stuff, and I'm sweet.
Very good. Flan. Sounds nice. Ben Feldman, dating profile from the perspective of yellow snow.
Hi there. Real name's Justin. Username is YOLO Snow. YOLO Snow. Because I'm yellow snow and because you only live once. I was born white, but now I'm yellow, as you can see by my pic. Shit happens. Well, pee happens to me anyway. IRL, I'm just a regular fun-loving 10-inch patch of snow that was peed on by some guy outside a bar in upstate New York a few hours ago. Just chilling here on 24th Street, half against a brick wall and half on some metal pipe. Looking to hook up and see what's doing, trying not to melt anytime soon. I love to rap and eat noodles. No, my favorite song is not Yellow Snow by Frank Zappa, you bigot. Just teasing, but half serious. Progressive jazz rock fusion just isn't in my flakes. But that's okay if it's in yours, not judging. The six things I could never do without are below freezing temperatures, crystallization, Netflix, Frozen, my Chihuahua Shih Tzu mix, good times and dope rhymes, and of course, Indian food. I know that's seven things, but that's just me breaking all the rules. Rules with a Z. Anyway, life is short. It's like, what, 2-3 days tops? Not much time to fuck around. So swipe right, okay? Seriously, if you like yellow snow and want to get together and grab some pizza, maybe shovel me. You know, just shovel me a little bit or just sit around and watch me melt. Or pee on me, whatever. Like, I'm chill and down for anything. No fatties.
Very good, Ben Feldman. Yellow snow. Jesse Jones, please bring us home with the dating profile from the perspective of a dreidel. Sure. A dreidel.
And I'm glad Brian did a slightly racist voice so that I can do mine.
That's not how it works.
Yeah, no.
No, they cancel each other out.
Yeah. It's fine. Laid down cover fire. Yeah. So I can... Let's see if I can even get it right. Hey, ladies. Your wait is over. I know that up until now, your fakakta schlep through the single scene has turned up bupkis. Just putts after putts. But look noon further. Because today your chutzpah's finally been rewarded. Shin Gimel's the name, making your head spins McGain. I'm looking to get back on the market.
But I got to be upfront about my past. I just recently completed a rehabilitation program for alcohol abuse. I was a real schmuck in my youth, but made a promise to myself that once I completed the program, I'd splash back into the dating pool. I said, when I was dry and ready, then the field I shall play. I've been told I have a lovely body with legs so short and thin. And hey, who am I to argue? I mean, when you got it, flaunt it, right? I'm able to keep this shape because I'm always playful and I love to dance and spin. Take this wonderful hip-hop cardio class at the Y. And my spin instructor's a Meshuganagoy who doesn't let you futz around on the cycle. So come on. Give it a whirl. Why not? We can go out for a Naj. Nothing serious. Have a few laughs. I'm sure you'll see why my good friends say I'm tops. And who knows? Depending on how things fall, I might pay the whole tab, or half, or none at all. Heck, you might end up owing me after the night's through. You never know what you're going to get with me. And if you play your cards right, if we really hit it off and the night gets late and I get all tired, maybe we can go back to your place and I'll drop and you'll win. If you get my meaning. Oral is what I mean. So go ahead. You take your time. Think it over. Think over the oral is what I mean.
Very good. That is Stab for your listening pleasure. One more time for your contestants. Alfonso Portella, Brian Yang, Ben Feldman, and Jesse Jones. If you'd like to hear more Stabs, go to one of our many online outlets, the primary of which being stabforgold.com. Stab, the number 4gold.com. Check us out on Stitcher, SoundCloud, iTunes. Download us if you want. We'll be right back with the next show. Thank you.